Romans chapter 9. This is one of the messages that I've had the longest that I never preached. And I've been wanting to preach this about 2.5 months. And the Lord kept on having other plans. And it just, I've moved it. Okay, next week. Okay, next week. Okay, Thursday night. Okay, next week. And had this just for a long, long time. It's been a thought. And I like it a lot. And I like the truth of it. And I think it needs to be remembered in understanding Scripture. Romans chapter 9. In verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. By the way, Romans 9, as most of Romans does, Romans goes back and forth, Jewish-Gentile. The chapter divisions just basically go from one to the other back and forth and explain what each has in their part. And Romans 9 is talking about the Jewish people and what they have and how God chose them. The hyper-Calvinists love Romans 9, but they don't love Romans 10. And so they don't, they always say, because Romans 9 has a lot about election and God choosing, and Romans 10 has a lot about man choosing, because both are in the Scripture, certainly. And but that's the context there is Israel, and God has chosen them, and they're still precious in God's sight. verse 2, Paul talking, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to flesh, as I would rather be lost than be saved. I love them so much. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they the children, but in Isaac shall thy servant be called. That is, they which are the seed of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promises are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to study your word. Thank you for these truths. Thank you that we can see this all over the Bible, and thank you we can also see you say it very clearly than we see it in pictures and Lord, I pray this would help us to rightly divide the word in the future and to have a proper interpretation of Scripture. People don't understand this truth, and they oftentimes make a private interpretation, which we're not allowed to do. I pray tonight that we would get the knowledge of Scripture, and your Spirit would speak to us, and we'd understand this truth and be spoken to in a powerful way. And we thank you for the great word of God that shows us these truths. And we pray that we would have the Spirit speaking to us and help us understand this personally in our lives, as well as a doctrine that we've got to grasp. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel was a nation that was given all the great promises of the Old Testament and the covenant. God started with Abraham. We'll read those verses a little bit later. And he made a deal with Abraham. It says in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth, it applies to them, the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God, the law, the Levitical priesthood and all those things, and the promises. So you see, to Israel was given a whole bunch of privileges, a whole bunch of promises, the law is what it's saying there. Okay, and we'll read that a little bit later in Galatians. So the law was given to Israel, okay? I want to talk about tonight is who gets to claim the promise. Who gets to claim the promise? Israel is given a whole bunch of promises. They were given the Levitical priesthood. You couldn't, if we were under the priesthood still of the Old Testament, and in Hebrews isn't there in the Bible, it told us that we're not under that anymore. If we were under it, you couldn't just decide to be a priest. It was for Jews. There's a bunch of promises to a nation. And this nation, these things happen to them. Let me take you to... let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Israel is given a bunch of promises in the covenant and the priesthood and all those things. They are given to Israel specifically. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Okay, you were without the covenant of God, without the promises to Israel. You were strangers. You were separated with God. You were separated from the promises of God, having no hope without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now understand, they could not be Jewish, but they could become what they'd call strangers among Israel, and go underneath as part of the nation. But they were not God's chosen people, the Ephesians. They were Gentiles, and all the promises weren't given to them. And weren't there. Now, if we go back to Romans chapter 9, I'm just showing you at certain times, certain promises were for certain people. But we have promises now that are for us. So we see in Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, we see that the promises and the law and the covenants and the service of God, these were all given to the Jewish people. But to us is given in verse 25 of the same chapter. It says, and he said in Osi, which is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which are not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So now it's talking to Gentiles. Now we can become the children of God. We weren't the people of God, but now we can become the people of God. We can become people of promise, okay? And we can be under that. I'll give you some thoughts on this. Number one, promises are conditional, okay? Promises are conditional. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 just to show you. So when you find a promise in the Bible, you find that many, many times a promise is conditional. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's a promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. So here's a promise. It'll go well with you and you'll live long upon the earth. But there's a condition on there. Honor thy father and mother. Okay? It is a conditional promise. Very important. Very, very, very important. Understand, you cannot claim every promise in the Bible. Even the promises that apply to us. Because the Bible is full of conditional promises. Okay, if you don't meet the conditions, I marvel when I hear people claim promises in the Bible. You know what the Bible says? All things work together for good. Keep quoting. Not everybody. To them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's conditional promise. Most of the Bible promises are conditional. So many Christians say, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding," I claim that. Well, how do you get it? It tells you how to get it in the verse before. I think it's Philippians 4:8, Philippians 4:7, and 4:6 and 7 tell you how to get it. But people just claim, I claim in Jesus' name the peace that passes understanding. Well, it doesn't say if you claim it, you get it. That's not the condition. It's like somebody claiming, I claim that it will be well with me and I will live long upon the earth. Well, did you obey your parents and honor them? You can't just claim something, okay? You can't just claim a promise in the Bible. It's conditional. They're conditional promises. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let me show you conditional promises. let's see, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 17, 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And what for you, the temple, the living God, as he has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You catch that? He said, hey, since we have such an amazing promise that God will dwell in us and he will receive us and we will be his children, since we have such amazing promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Why? So we can meet this condition, so we can get this promise, because the condition is separation. Very few Christians feel close to God and feel that close bond. Why? They're not separated. They don't know what separation is in the Bible. And they're touching the unclean thing. And so God has not received them. And now God saved them, but God says, I will be near to you, and you're my temple. All over the Old Testament, you'll see promises. Then God said, you broke it. You don't get that promise. He told David, if your family will do this thing, there'll never be an end to one of your descendants upon the throne of Israel. Is there one of these David's descendants upon the throne of Israel right now? No. Why? Because Solomon and his son broke it, and it got broken. Israel was told that was their land forever. But they broke the covenant, and then they got kicked out of the land. They were taken out. Why? Because the promise was conditional. And God said, I will do this if you'll do this. And so to do that, you can't just claim a promise when it's qualified. First of all, it's qualified promises. Secondly, promises are to certain people. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. We're just a little bit about Abraham. Abraham got a bunch of promises to him. Genesis chapter 12. The first part of the Abrahamic covenant. Promises are not only conditional, but they are sometimes to certain people. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay? That's the beginning of the promise. Then he gets more specific in chapter 17. He gives him some more things of this promise to Abraham, this covenant with Abraham. In Abraham, verse 7 and 8. And Abraham ran to the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave... I'm in 18, sorry. Chapter 17, verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, I don't have that promise. I'm not of the seed of Abraham. Okay? I don't have the promise of the land of Israel forever. And by the way, it is a complete miracle that got it back, even part of it. Miracle. But it's a certain people who have that. Now, the entire, you ready for this? The entire prosperity gospel preaching. I have heard this so many times from these people who are prosperity gospel preachers. These people, they will quote you a verse, say, boy, sure enough, the Bible says that. I'm going to make you rich. And they claim the promises of Abraham and the promise of Israel and the promises of Solomon. Okay? They claim promises that are to certain people. Okay? And then they say, oh, I got that. Watch, let me show you Joshua chapter 1. Now, there's principles all over the Bible that we can apply. And you can say, you can quote with David, the Lord is going to fight for me, and all this, that's fine. And you can find New Testament references, and you can find the principles, certainly God fights for his people, and all this stuff. But I've heard this verse quoted a whole bunch. by people today saying, this is why God's going to give me every place my footsteps. In Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I have heard it with my ears, preachers on TV. I've heard Christians individually, and they claim this promise in Jesus' name, that every place the sole of my foot shall tread, God will give me. I've heard it. He's talking to Joshua going to the promised land. Okay? That's not a promise for everybody. Do you know how many places would be yours right now? Okay? I'd have land all over the world. Okay? I would own Fred Meyers. Okay? Listen. And people claim that. It's not... And good people. I mean, I've been sitting there praying with a good, godly man and have him claiming that promise. And maybe God leads you and all of a sudden God says, I want you to claim this promise right now. Maybe God does that and that's fine. I have no problem with that. I know a pastor who believed God gave him a piece of land and he'd walk around that land one night, entire night, praying over it all night, walking around it barefooted, claiming that promise. And God gave him the land. Maybe God gave you something like that. But understand, that's not your promise. It's Joshua's promise, okay? And the principle's there, where you need to go and where God needs to take you. He can give you victory and be with you. But it's God talking to Joshua, okay? And the principles are there. Now, you can get Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 is all over the Bible, okay? The principle of meditation on the scripture, that's fine. But understand, don't claim a promise for somebody else. Psalm 112. They claim that, and then they say, God's going to give me prosperity and wealth, and he's going to give me wherever my feet tread, and God's give me this business, and God's... hold on a sec there. You're taking a lot farther than God does. It's to a certain group of people. There it is, Psalm 112, verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. There it is right there. God's going to make me rich. Okay, I can get a proverb. It says, wealth and riches abide in his house, the God, the righteous man, okay, and the wise man. Okay, so here we go. Wealth and riches are in your house. I claim that promise. Well, let's see what, that's Old Testament. We're under New Testament. The Bible refers to it as a death of a spouse and getting remarried, okay? And you have a new covenant, okay? Now go to James. Let's see how much God says about us being wealthy and rich and all that stuff. Let's see what the Bible says about that. James chapter 2. And verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? And heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised them that loved him. There God says, hey, poor people are blessed. And he's chosen them to be rich in faith. And heirs of eternal things. He rewards them and gives them great blessings in another way. James chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. That's a little different. Okay? How about the rich young ruler? How about Jesus saying, I don't have a place to lay my head down? How about Paul saying, I have suffered the loss of all things? I'm in nakedness and peril and hunger. Was Paul not a good Christian? Was Jesus not a good Christian? No. It's because they claim a promise to somebody else, and they claim Abraham's promises, they claim Solomon's promise, and they claim all kinds of promises that weren't to them, and then they say, that's my promise. God's going to make me healthy and wealthy. I've sat in services. I've been, when I first started the church, I went to other churches during nights we didn't have services. I've listened to pastors in this area stand at the pulpit and say, no matter what happens, God's made me a millionaire and he'll keep me a millionaire. And God's going to give me prosperity and wealth because that's the promises of God. I've heard my own ears right here in the area. Okay? That's because they're claiming promises that aren't theirs. That's not theirs. It's not biblical. It's not what you do. You got to rightly divide the word. Let's imagine this. So I'm at the grocery store, and there is some kid sitting there, and he's with his mom, and his mom says, Johnny, okay, ready? If you will not cry and grab anything the whole time in the store, when we get done, I'll give you a candy bar, whatever candy bar you want. And so I watch and I wait till she's all the way through shopping, and then she gets in line. I walk up and I say, I want my candy bar. I did not yell and I didn't grab anything. And she looks at me very strange. She says, what are you talking about? Yeah, I heard you make that promise. If I didn't grab anything and I didn't yell, I get a free candy bar. That was for Johnny. No, you promised. I claim that promise in Jesus' name. It wasn't for me. I can't just claim someone else's promise. Okay? First of all, it's got to be to me, which is fine. And secondly, I got to meet the qualifications. And if the lady walks in the store and says, anybody who will be good in this store the whole time, at the end, by the time I'm done shopping, if you haven't cried or grabbed anything, I'll buy you a candy bar. Then I've got to not cry and be good. I can't just claim the candy bar if I'm a bitten brat. But if she says it's for Johnny, as a matter of fact, even if she said it's for Joel and her kid's named Joel, I still can't claim it. It's the wrong Joel. Sad, isn't it? But it's not my promise. I've got to be the right person, and I've got to meet the qualifications. All the promises are not for everybody. Okay? You say, oh, man, that's no fun. Now, this is the good news. We Christians have amazing promises. You see, I don't get the land forever. I don't get the wealth and prosperity, and in my seed shall all the earth be blessed. That's the Messiah coming through Abraham's line. The king on my throne forever. That's for David's line. That's because Jesus will come and be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Now, we Christians, let's go to 2 Peter. Doesn't mean that we miss out. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You get all things you need for godliness. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've got great and precious promises. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. I got the wrong verse. Let's see, 2 Peter. Oh, chapter 3. I'm in the wrong chapter again. And see, it's if you don't read the right chapter, you don't get the promises. And chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, dwell in righteousness. 1 John 2:25, this is the promise which he has promised unto us, even eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Great promises. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. And let's start at verse 6. It says, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. But how much more is he the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises? For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. That's our covenant. That's where we are. It's not written on stone anymore. It's written in our hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, even the least, the greatest. For I will be merciful in their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, A new covenant hath he made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. We've got better promises. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll get to that in just a sec. So, what promise do we have? We've got everything we need for life and godliness. We've got the whole New Testament. We've got the promise of eternal life that's much more clear than the Old Testament. We've got whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and whosoever will may come. We've got a promise to anybody in the entire world who wants salvation can be saved today. We've got the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. I have two different verses on that. We've got promises of a new heaven and a new earth, it says. We've got promises all over. We've got so many amazing promises. Promises how to get our prayers answered. Promises asking you shall receive. Promises the power of the Holy Spirit. Promises the blessings of God. Promises of greater works than these. Promises that I will dwell in you. Promises that were two or more gathered, with them in the midst of the church, but it's qualified. Promises, exceeding great and precious promises, the Bible says. You've got unbelievable promises that are for you and I. Some qualified, most of them qualified. Watch, more qualified. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Qualified. After you do the will of God, you get the promise. Hebrews 4. And verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. The promise of the rest of God is belief, trusting God. Chapter 3, verse 19. So then we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 6. Seeing then it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why? There's a promise of a rest for the people of God, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us therefore labor into that rest. Don't fall in the same example of unbelief. Do you see in the Bible there's a bunch of promises? So somebody who hasn't received Jesus Christ, if somebody isn't believing and calling upon the name of the Lord, they can't say they're going to heaven. That's a qualified promise. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life. That's like me walking up to the state lottery commission and say, you promised that it was a $10 million lottery. And they said, you got the ticket? No, but you promised you'd give away $10 million. But you didn't get the ticket. It's a qualified thing to get the promise. To get eternal life, it's qualified. It's not a hard qualification. It's open to anybody. Whosoever will may come, but you must come to Jesus. You must believe in the Lord. But to as many as received him, you must say yes to Jesus. It's open to anybody. He makes it easy. But he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is qualified. The blessings of God are qualified. The hand of God upon you is qualified. Fullness of Spirit is qualified. But they're all promises. And you can obtain these promises if you just meet the qualifications. Entering into his rest, great promise, qualified. Peace that passes understanding, qualified. Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, qualified. All you got to do is find the qualifications and meet them. And you know, there's thousands of them. The whole New Testament and many parts of the Old Testament you can claim. They'll just be also referred to in the New Testament, or they'll be the same principle in the New Testament. And you will find that God never changed any some of those things. But you know what? If it's to Abraham, it's very clear it's to him. When it's to David, it's very clear it's to him. When it's Old Testament, it's talking about riches and prosperity. You find in the New Testament, it's talking about spiritual blessings. And that's you see the Bible tells you that. It all explains it. But you've got to rightly divide the word. And don't walk up to mommy at the counter and say, "Where's my candy bar?" Especially if you've been a brat. And many Christians, and I marvel, they'll live away from God, they'll live ungodly, they'll live wickedly, and then they'll claim a promise. They'll claim Philippians 4:19. "My God shall supply all your needs." I just believe Jesus Christ is going to supply my needs. They're not tithing. They're not giving. They're not living for God. They're not seeking God's kingdom first. What's the promise? All these things will be added unto you, your clothing, your food. What's the qualification? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Yes. But they'll claim the promises. And then they'll say, "It didn't work for me." You didn't do what it said. You just tried to claim the promise without meeting the qualifications. This is so good. You don't get how good it is. You're just staring at me. Okay, this is awesome, just so you know that. Next time you read your Bible, you'll see a promise you'll understand. You'll say, "Wow, that really was awesome. I shouldn't have just stared at him blankly like he's talking about the color white." And it's awesome. Because once you know who it's to, and you know it's to you, and then you know the qualifications, once you meet those things, it is impossible for God to lie. He always keeps his promise. Amen. And you're blessed. But don't get mad at God if he doesn't make you wealthy. Because he made Abraham wealthy. And because you walked around that building and it wasn't given to you like you claimed. Don't do that. Don't claim all things work together for good when you don't love God. Listen, had somebody call me today and they're just in disaster number 647. And they called me and say, "Oh, Pastor, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? I need God to help me. I need God to help me. Last time you prayed, God helped me so much. So many things happened." And I prayed for them. And I was very surprised the last time I prayed for them, good things happened. Because they're never at church until everything's a complete disaster. And then they get out of the complete disaster and they're never at church for a long time. Last time, they came to one service. Came to pray for them. And I guess God helped them, and now they're in disaster again. And I think, why would you expect God to bless you? When you don't do what the Bible says, when you're Johnny and you've been spitting all over everything and then grabbing everything and throwing it on the ground and screaming and yelling, and then you get checked in and say, "Okay, I want my candy bar now." Why would you expect to get your candy bar? But you meet the qualifications, and you expect God to do it. Because God never lies, and he keeps his promises. But a bunch of people claim promises aren't for them, and they claim a bunch of promises. Listen, there's certain promises to Adam and Eve and to Moses. Okay? Those are promises to them. That's fine. The principle is still true. But claim the promise. You've got exceeding great and precious promises, and hundreds of them right there in the New Testament. Read the Bible and find out the qualification, and then claim it once you meet the qualification. And then God will do it. But make sure it's for you, and then make sure it is met, the qualification is met. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you. We can see how great your promises are, Lord. This thought has been on mind for so long that you make clear promises and you make clear qualifications. I pray, Lord, that we would find your promises and then fulfill your promises, then claim your promises. And Lord, I know when we do that, you'll bless. And I pray we'd follow these principles of the Bible. Thank you for the word and all it shows us, Lord. Most of it applies to us. We thank you for that. Exceeding great and precious promises. All we need that pertains to life and godliness, you said, you have given us. We thank you for that. We're full of promises, more than we'll ever meet, more than we'll ever be able to claim. May we find him and claim him and live this rich, blessed Christian life, we pray, and rightly divide the word in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation is for